Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's is Psachim Daf Mem Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's Shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the Shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We will begin today's shiur at the sixth wide line on Daf Mem Ches, toward the end of the line, where you'll notice a house marking where Rami Bar Chama is marked off thusly. Before we begin the actual Gemara, let us glance at the side under our Nosei, our topic heading, where we've written Nisayon Shel Rami Bar Chama, the attempt of Rami Bar Chama Lahamid Machlokes Rabo V'Rav Chisda, to establish the Machlokes Amoroyim that we learned back on Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis, Machlokes between Rabo and Rav Chisda, who argued concerning a person who had baked or cooked on Yom Tov for a weekday, where Rabo said someone like that is not guilty of lashing. Rav Chisda said he is guilty of lashing. And the Gemara had set up the Machlokes there based on a concept known as Ho'il. And there, Rabo and Rav Chisda were discussing someone who had finished eating his Yom Tov meals. He was totally sated, and he nevertheless cooked on Yom Tov for Shabbos. According to Rabo, he is considered guilt-free of having violated Yom Tov, namely having cooked on Yom Tov for non-Yom Tov purposes, because guests might show up, so that even though he wasn't cooking for himself, Ho'il v'ikloi orchim, since guests might show up, so the cooking that he did on Yom Tov, after he himself has already finished his Yom Tov eating, nevertheless that food that was cooked could have been fit for guests that might have showed up. According to Rav Chisda, on the other hand, that is improper. We don't look at the potential for guest use. The fact that he himself didn't need the food, and he nevertheless cooked anyway for the next day, for a weekday, that's considered a Yom Tov violation. So Rabo and Rav Chisda argued whether or not we apply the concept of ho'il, of since guests might come, even though he didn't invite the guests, that would be grounds for exemption. Now, that machlokes, Rami Bar Chama wants to set up kemachlokes Rabbi Elezer v'Rabbi Yeshua li'el b'mishnosenu on Daf Mem Vav Amud Aleph, shecholku be'inyan Isa. They argued concerning dough, shenitme'a, dough that became ritually impure, became tomei, v'hafroshes chala mimeno b'pesach, and the need to tithe, to separate from that dough, a tithe named chala, that was given to a kohen, and this tithing, in the case of the Mishnah, would be taking place on Pesach day, on the holiday itself. And the problem that arose with regard to that tithe is that on the one hand it could not be eaten because it's challah tamea. On the other hand, it could not be burnt, which is the standard procedure with challah tamea, because you do not burn trumos and challah that are tameim on Yom Tov day. Even though Yom Tov you're allowed to burn things, that's in the context of things you need for Yom Tov. For example, lighting fuel for cooking. But for this destruction of challah tamea, that's not allowed on Pesach. And to leave it on the side, there would ostensibly be a problem of bal yirah bal yimotzeh. You're being in possession of chometz. So Rabbi Elezer and Rabbi Yeshua argued how to deal with that case. Rabbi Elezer had said that bake it all first and then tithe it. And Rabbi Yeshua says you don't have to worry about it because the challah that you tithe anyway is not something you would be subject to bal yirah bal yimotzeh. So Rami Bar Chama wants to parallel the machlokes Rabo and Rav Chisda to the earlier machlokes tanoim between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua. Now, structurally, that's Rami Bar Chama. However, you will see an inverted house shape that appears, and that represents the, as we see under our Mivneh heading, the house with upright position is Rami Bar Chama Vasovrim Kamoso. That represents Rami Bar Chama and those that agree with him, and the inverted house will represent Hachokim Al Rami, those that argue with him. So now, after that rather lengthy introduction, let us continue in the Gemara. Once again, we should point out that true understanding of this sugi, even as far as our Gemara markings, Daf Yomi Shurim, are concerned, in this particular case, necessitates being quite familiar with the previous Shiurim, Daf Mem Vov, Daf Mem Vov, Daf Mem Zayin as well. So now, our Gemara. Omar Rami Bar Chama, Ha de Rav Chisda v'Rabba, their machlokis that was back on Mem Vav Amid Beis concerning the Mevashel Miyom Tov L'Chol kemachlokis de Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yeshua Hi. It will parallel the machlokis Tanoim regarding the dough. De Rabbi Eliezer Savar Amrinon Hoyel, Rabbi Eliezer, who allows first the baking, even though one of the loaves that you're going to be baking is actually a challah loaf. It's a loaf that's not fit for you. But nevertheless, by employing Hoyil, we get out of that problem of having baked on Yom Tov a loaf that's not really fit for you. And Rabbi Yeshua says you're not allowed to bake them first. You have to tie them in their dough state, which is the normal way, generally speaking, of tithing the challah tithe, and leave the challah aside. And that's a function of he would not agree with ho'il. Now, we've used the aleph and beis in Rami Bar Chama because as the Gemara continues, it will be attacking that piece by piece. Rav Papa will reject the Aleph point of Rami Bar Chama, and later Rav Shisha Breid Ravi Idi will attack the Beis point of Rami Bar Chama. Before we get into that, however, let us take a look at the Rashi. Machlokes, we're looking at Rashi at the upper part of the narrow lines. Machlokes, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yeshua, he, Rabbi Elazar, Sof, Amrin, Ahoyel, Afal Gav, the Sofal, Lahafishachs, Mehem, Lachala, even though after he baked all the dough as numerous loaves and has not yet tithed them, however, at the end, even though he's going to separate one of the loaves and declare it the challah tithe, v'nimtso shetoch b'dover she'eino roi l'achila, the result is then he expended trouble or energy over something that wasn't Yom Tov related. It wasn't fit for eating. It's challah tameo. Afilu hochi amrinon. Nevertheless, we say ho'il. V'i boi lo mafrish challah l'challah. Since if he did not want to separate a full loaf as the challah, elo botza mikol challah v'challah, but rather taken off a small piece from each loaf. V'iko lemeimar b'chol chado chaziole, and there is room to say that any given loaf would have been fit for you. Umutur lafosa, because any given loaf that you would say is fit for me is something that you're allowed to bake. So since we look, according to Rebbe Lezer, we would be looking at the potential, therefore my having baked all of the loaves does not constitute a Yom Tov violation. Rabbi Yeshua Savar Lo Amrin and Hoyo Kedei Lahatir Melech Melochos Yom Tov. Rabbi Yeshua does not employ or activate the Ho'il analysis in order to allow constructive activity on Yom Tov. Deli'el Lokoi, let's read that line again. He's not going to rely on the Ahoyel V'boy Mishallah Dili'el. Lokoi Rami Bar Chama Elo Ahoyel D'Isur Molochus Yom Tov. Let's read this Rashi again for greater accuracy. Rabbi Yeshua says we don't say Hoyel Kedei Lahatim Lechus Yom Tov, to enable us to, in a sense, violate Yom Tov by relying on Hoyel. Ahoyel V'boy Mishallah the Li'el lo koi romi bahama. There was another kind of ho'il that was discussed earlier, that namely that you could have rescinded the declaration of the loaf as being chala, rather, we, Rami Bar Chama, is discussing the ho'il that allows Meleches Yom Tov to have taken place. Let's now turn back to the Gemara. Omar Rav Popa. Rav Popa is going to attack, is going to be doche, the aleph point of Rami Bar Chama, namely suggesting that Rabbi Eliezer the Tana will hold like the ho'il that Rabbo was relying on to exempt the fellow from Malkus when he was Mevashel from Yom Tov L'chol. So Omar of Popo, the Dilma Ad Kan Lokum Rabbi Eliezer Hossam, maybe Rabbi Lozer's leniency in allowing you to bake all of the dough before tithing, the Amrinon Hoyo, Elo de Beidna de Koaili, Litanura, Kochadavachada Chazile Lidide. Why was he lenient there? Because at the point that he was putting in each loaf into the oven, any given loaf is something that he personally could have benefited from. That's why we're emphasizing the word lididei with our dashed underline. So the leniency is based on the potential that any given loaf, as he was putting in the oven, remember, he was putting into the oven before he declared any tithing. So any given loaf would have been fit for him. Aval hocha, de la orchen hu de chazi, lididei lo chazi, but in the Machlokis Rabbo and Rav Chisda, where Rabbo was lenient, based on Hoyil, who says that Tana Rebbe Lezer would go that far? Because in the case of Rabbo, where he was lenient, the leniency was based on the food that he cooked up being fit for guests. After all, we're talking about someone that finished all his Yom Tov, his personal Yom Tov eating. Therefore, his cooking now was only for the potential guest that might have come. But it's not something that he himself would have eaten. So, Eimo Hochi Nami Dolomrin Hoyil. It could be that Rabbi Eliezer would not accept the Hoyil analysis. Omar Rav Shisha Brei Rav Idi. And as we pointed out with our markings, Rav Shisha will be rejecting the Bay's point of Rami Bar Chama, where Rami Bar Chama declared Rabbi Yoshua the Tana as denying Hoyil like Rav Chisda had denied it, who says they are really parallel. So that's what Omar Rav Shisha Breid Rav Idi Vidilmo Lohi, maybe not like Rami Bar Chama contended. Ad Kan Lokom Rabbi Yeshua Hasam, the Loyam Rinan Hoyil. It could be that Rabbi Yeshua, in his case regarding the Tomei Doe, said we will not say Hoyil, Elo de Iko, Chada de Lo Chazio, Lo Le Dide, Velo Le Orchin. Because when looking at the collective loaves, one of those loaves was not fit for anybody. Chala tomeo is something that cannot be eaten. It must be destroyed. Aval hochan, the machlokis rabban Rav Chisda, the chozi mias lorchim, where the food that was cooked was fit potentially for somebody, for a guest. Eimo hochinami aminon hoyil. Maybe the Tana Rebbe Yoshua would have accepted the hoyil idea. Amrua Rabbonon Kamei de Rebbe Yirmiyo v'Rebbe Zera. The Rabbonon recited or said over Rami Bar Chama's analysis to the two Rabbonim, Rebbe Yirmiyo and Rebbe Zera. Rebbe Yirmiyo Kibla, Rebbe Zera lo Kibla. Rebbe Yirmiyo liked, accepted Rami Bar Chama's paralleling, and Rebbe Zera did not. Omar le Rebbe Yirmiyo le Rebbe Zera. Rebbe Yirmiyo, who was happy with the Rami Bar Chama parallel, says to Rabbi Zera, Milso de Kashilon ve Asya Kama Shoni, Bemai Pligi Rabbi Lozer Rabbi Yeshua, a matter that was difficult to us. The question having been, what are Rabbi Eliezer and Yeshua arguing about? What's the basis of their machlokes? Now, the analysis was reported in the name of a great man, in the name of Romi Bar Chamo, who explained the Machlokas Tanoim as being a Machlokas based on Ho'il, like we see by Rabo and Rav Chisda. The Lo Nekavlan, should we not accept it? Here we've struck in treasure. We've struck in gold here by finally getting an answer to our question of what was Rabbi Elezer and Rabbi Yishua arguing about. And now that we got this in, we got an answer to that question in the name of Rami Bar Chama, should we not accept that? Omar Le, Rabbi Zera responds, Hey Shini Akablo, how can I accept what was just said? How can I accept that? The Tanina, we have the following. And as we go on in the next few lines, we're going to have an interchange between Rabbi Zera and Rabbi Yirmiyah. And so it's important to keep track of who the speaker is. We attempted to do that with squiggle underlines under the expression Omar Le and writing in the name so we can keep track of who the speaker is. So Rabbi Zera says, how can I accept that analysis? The Tanina, we have a Tanaic source which features Rabbi Yishua himself. It says, Omar Le Rabbi Yishua. Rabbi Yishua says to Rabbi Eliezer, Lidvorecha, according to you, who says, bake all of the dough, and only later on tithe the challah tithe. Harei hu over mishum lo sase kol melacha. Is he not in violation of doing a forbidden Yom Tov activity? Namely, baking for baking the loaf that eventually will become declared the challah loaf, and it has no relevance to Yom Tov itself, and therefore he is in violation of Asiyas Malach, of doing Malachas, doing forbidden activities on Yom Tov, Vishosiklei. And Rabbi Eliezer didn't respond. He seemingly accepted Rabbi Yeshua's objection. The Esau, if it's like Rami Bar Chamo had said, that Rabbi Eliezer's heter is based on Ho'il, Le Mole, shouldn't Rabbi Eliezer have been able to respond to Rabbi Yishua and say, Taimo Didi Mishim Ho'il? My heter in suggesting that he is not guilty of Asiyas Moloch is because of Ho'il, because any one of the loaves was fit for the person baking it. And since that potential exists, given any one loaf, there was no Yom Tov violation. But Rabbi Eliezer remains silent. That indicates that he does not subscribe to Ho'il. Omar Le, Rabbi Yirmiyah says back, Rabbi Yirmiyah, who liked the analysis of Rami Bar Chama, says, Ulatamech, according to you, according to the way you are presenting matters, you Rabbi Zer presenting things, Ha detanino bebraisa, that which we see in another Tanaic source, Omar lo Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says to Rabbi Yeshua, Lidvorecha, according to you, that is not going to bake the loaves. You're going to rather tithe the challah and leave it aside unbaked. Hare hu over mishum bayiro bayimotze. Vishosiklei. Rabbi Eliezer objected to Rabbi Yishua and claiming that you're going to end up being in violation of being in possession of chametz, and the Torah says lo yeira lechov lo yimotzei. Vishosiklei. Rabbi Yishua didn't answer. Hachinami d'lahadilei. Are you going to say just because in this brisa we don't see Rabbi Yishua answering back? Does that mean he didn't answer back? But we see in the Mishnah, we see Rabbi Yeshua answering him. This non, Rabbi Yeshua said in our Mishnah, you, Rabbi Eliezer, are trying to say that I'm going to be in, I'm leading people to be in violation of Bayiro Bayimotze, but this kind of chometz, namely the challah tithe, is not going to cause someone to be oiver, to be in violation of Bayiro Bayimotze. Ela shosik le bebraiso mahadi le bemasnis. And what do we see? Says Rabbi Yirmiyah. We see Rabbi Yeshua being silent in the brisa. In fact, he didn't respond there. But in the Mishnah, we do see his response. Hachinami. So too, with regard to Rabbi Eliezer and his alleged silence that you quoted, Amor shosik le bemasnisin. True, he was quiet in the Mishnah. And in another source, he responded. So that silence in one source doesn't indicate absolute silence, as we saw in the case of Rabbi Yoshua's silence in the Brisa, but we know his response appeared in the Mishnah. Likewise, we can say the same thing with regard to Rabbi Eliezer. So in this particular piece of Gemara, Rabbi Yirmiyah's response to Rabbi Zera is trying to base your objection to Rami Bar Chama, base it on silence. That isn't necessarily a convincing proof. Tanya, Gemara presents a Tanaic source that deals with psak halacha and also different quantities that are expected in order to avoid the chametz problem setting in on the dough that you are working on. So we have a source that says Rebbe Omer halacha k'Rebbe Eliezer. Rebbe paskins like Rebbe Eliezer. That would mean that if you have dough that became tameh, bake it first. Rabbi Yitzchok Omar halacha keben Besera. Rabbi Besera's solution in the mission was that you tithe it as challah, as in the dough state, and then put it into cold water. That will retard the fermentation, and thereby you'll avoid being in violation of Bayiroa, Bayimotze, regarding the challah tithe. And now a new issue in the source, V'kama Shior Isa. What is the quantity or the recommended quantity of dough to knead that will be such that you can keep it from fermentation? In other words, what's the maximum, let's say, workable amount of dough that's considered acceptable or advisable to work with and not come to a situation where it will ferment? Rabbi Yishmael Benoi Shirab Yochanan Broka Omer Bechitim, if it's a wheat flour, so called a wheat based dough, Kabayin is 2 kav. Ubisoirin, if you're dealing with a barley based dough, Shloishis Kavin. Rabbi Nosson Omer Mishum Rabbi Lezer Chiluf Adron Rabbi Nosson, quoted Rabbi Lezer, says the opposite. In other words, that Seorim are more likely to ferment. Whereas the first opinion said you should work with a smaller amount of chitim vis-a-vis Seorim, because Seorim you can knead a larger amount and still there be no fear, because Seorim doesn't ferment so quickly. Therefore, we can allow you to prepare a larger amount. Rav Nosson says the opposite. We ask, V'hotanya, do we not have a Tanaic source, same name, Rabbi Shmuel Benosh, Rabbi Yochanan Broka, Omer, and now notice the difference. Bechitin shloishis kavin, ubesorin arbo kavin. In the previous source, and it's very easy to keep track because we squiggle underline the key words, chitin, the previous source, Rabbi Yishmuel was allowing only working with 2 kav, and in this source, he's allowing working of with chitin 3 kav. In the first source, Seorim, he allowed 3 kav, and in this source, he's allowing 4 kav. We should have pointed out, but maybe it's obvious, that kav is a measure, and the harder it is for something to become chametz, the greater amount we will allow you to work with. The Gemara says, Lo kashya. There is no contradiction between the numbers in these two sources. Ha be chasichsa, ha be malyosa. Chasichsa, you can see in the Rabbeinu Hananel, says they are ro'im. It's a poor quality. So if you're dealing with a poor quality grain, that's what you see in the second source. In the first source, you're dealing with ma'al yasa, high quality grain. And Rashi points this out 3 lines from the bottom, that grain, actually let's hold off on the Rashi, that's for the next point mentioned in the Gemara. But the Rashi points out, komai sabam be ma'al yasa, the first source was the better quality grain, and the second source, which had larger quantities, was because you were dealing with a poor quality grain, and as a result of that, so it it ferments in a slower fashion. We continue in the Gemara. Omar Rav Popa, Shma Mino. When you take a close look at these numbers, we can arrive at the following conclusion. He is going to talk about the percentage of difference between good and poor quality wheat in contrast with the good and poor quality barley. So he says, Grin chiti chasichsa mechiti ma'alyasa tfei midagrion sairi chasichsa misairi ma'alyasa. The gap between the gap in quality between poor quality wheat and good quality wheat is a greater gap than the gap between poor quality barley and good quality barley. And how do you see that? The ilu hasam, in the case of the wheat tilsa, there's a third between them, meaning that the good quality wheat, we say you're allowed to work with only two kav. When it comes to poor quality wheat, we say you're allowed to work with three kav. That's a difference of one third. When you look at the discrepancy between two to three, so it's a discrepancy of one third. However, v'hocha riva, in the case of sa'orim, it's only a quarter difference, because in the case of the sa'orim, we said the good quality barley, we allow you to work with three kav, whereas the poor quality, four kav. So it's going from three to four is a discrepancy, a change of one quarter. Omar Rav, Kavo milugni'o lepischo v'chein lechala. Milugno'o is the name of a place, so it's the milugno'o kav. The milugno'o kav measure is the amount of dough that is fit for working with on Pesach, namely not to knead more than that, because if you're going to work with more than that, there is a fear of fermentation setting in. And also that same amount, the kava melugno, is the amount of dough that will be chayav, that will require the chala tithe to be separated. Less than that, less than a kava melugno, does not generate a chala obligation. The Gemara asks, and we continue at the top of Amud Beis, V'hotnan, have we not learned Chameshis Revoyim Kemach V'oid Chayovin V'chala, that the amount of dough, of flour, that one would prepare to become Chayov in Chala is five quarters. Five quarters is five lugin, five quarters of a kav. One lug is a quarter of a kav, so it's one and a quarter kav is chayav in chala. And you are telling me it's a kava, and you're telling me that a kava milugno is chayav in chala. Are they not two different things? The Gemara says, Hachi ko'omar. This is what Rav was really saying. Kava milugnoi nami ahai shiurokoi. The milugnoi kav is in fact the same as Chameshis Revoyim. Omar Rav Yosef, Hani Noshi Didon, Nohug Lemefa, our women, he says, are accustomed to baking Kapiza, Kapiza Lepischa. That's three lug at a time, which you can see is less than the amount we had just before. They would prepare batters of three lug at a time. That's a much smaller amount. We said five lug above. Here's three lug. to avoid any fermentation problems. Omale Abaye, my daitech l'chumra. Abaye raises an objection to Rav Yosef. He says, what's your point? You're trying to show a stringency, namely working with a smaller amount, because only that way you will avoid fermentation. But chumra de osi lidei kulahu, what you think is a stringency is actually a stringency that leads to a leniency. De komafka lo mechala. By preparing such small quantities of dough, you are exempting yourself from the chala tithe. If you would have prepared, like we said before, the five revoyim, five lug, so that's an amount that at the you can avoid the fermentation, and at the same time you're obligating yourself in the challah tithe. But what you are suggesting, or what you're reporting as far as the local women folk were doing, they're avoiding the challah tithe. So that's what we call a chumra d'asi lidei kula. Omale, Rav Yosef says, no, they're not avoiding the challah tithe. The avdon k'Rabbi Eliezer, their practice is like that of Rabbi Eliezer. Disnan, we have a source in which Rabbi Eliezer appears. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Haroide v'noisin l'sal. Roide is the process of removing baked loaves from the oven. So one who removes loaves from the oven and puts them in a basket, and we're talking about dough that had not been tithed, and it had not been tithed because, like we said, they were prepared in a small quantity dough-wise, but after they were baked, and they put them in all the loaves in one basket, hasal mitzar from the chalas, the basket joins them together to become like one large batter, if you will, to become obligated in chalas, so that even though the loaves were prepared using individual batters that were exempt, but once all of the loaves are put together, the sal, the basket, joins them together to become obligated. And Rav Yehuda, this is all Rav Yosef's response, he says, and Rav Yehuda says, in the name of Shmuel, that we rule like Rabbi Lezer. Omar Le, Abaye responds, but hasn't it been said by Rav Shua ben Levi, Lo shana al kikros shel bovel shenoshchos zu mizu? The idea of tzal mitzarfon is a reference only to the Babylonian kikros, Babylonian loaves, that when they were baking, they ended up baking, and as is normal in baking, the loaves expand and end up touching, or literally biting into one another, sticking into one another. So that Abai is saying that the halacha of Rebbe Lezer, that sal mitzarfen applies only regarding loaves that in the baking process they ended up attaching themselves one to the other. Avo ke'echin, lo, but ke'echin are thin or elongated thin loaves where in their baking they don't touch one another. Then we would not say the sal is mitzaref them. The response, ha itmar Allah omar Rabbi Chanina afilu keechin, but Rabbi Chanina says even in the case of the keechin, the sal is mitzaref. So our women folk are not exempting themselves from challah. Boy, Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah raises a question. According to the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, that a basket joins together previously untithed loaves because of their small batter quantity to become one large quantity and hence obligated, tav lo she'en lo levizvizin mahu. What about piling loaves on a tray, on a flat tray that doesn't have levizvizin, it doesn't have a rim around it, a wall or a rim around it. In other words, it's a flat tray. What is the din then? Two possibilities. Aleph, toch kli bo'inin v'haleko. The idea of tzal mitzarfon is when you're dealing with a standard basket, and a basket by definition is a vessel that has walls around it. And this does not have an interior, by virtue of the fact that it doesn't have walls. Toch means an interior is what's required for the tziruf, for the joining together, and this doesn't have that. Oy dilma, avir kli bo'inan vo'iko, or airspace of a vessel is what's required. And, well, that you have by piling it on top of the tray. Teku. So that particular issue of the issue of the tray and its ability to mitzaref remains unresolved. Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer Omer hasal mitzarfon. Rabbi Eliezer says that a basket joins the previously untied loaves together. Rabbi Shomer, tanur mitzarfon. Rabbi Shua says an oven is mitzaref. Now, as far as what exactly Rabbi Yeshua's opinion is with regard to the basket, so that might be dependent on different gersos that one will find in the Rashi. According to the current gersa we have in Rashi, Rabbi Yeshua is saying even a tanur, even though he didn't put it in the basket. According to the gersa that the Gra quotes, it would seem that Rabbi Yeshua is limited to the tanur is mitzaref, but not a basket. Gemara goes on. Rabbon Shimon ben Gamliel Omer Kikros shel bovel shenoishkos zu mizu mitzarfos. We just saw this in the previous piece of Gemara that only if they connect to one another in the baking will they be considered joined. But in the case of thin, elongated loaves that don't touch one another in the baking, so they do not become obligated in challah. Here too the Gra comments on Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. The Mishnah. Rabban Gamliel Omer. What we will be seeing in this Mishnah is several women working on dough. How are they to proceed and avoid fermentation? And we're dealing with a situation where we have three women that are working on batters, and there's only one oven available. How should they conduct themselves? The Mishnah says, Rabban Gamliel Omer, Sholosh Noshim, Loshois Kachas, Vaofos, Betanur Echod, Zu Achar Zu. Three women, each one can have their own batter, start kneading together, each one their own batter. And when it comes to putting the dough into the oven, there's only one oven. So they're going to then put their respective batters in one after the other. So what is going to happen is that there are going to be two women waiting with their unbaked dough until the first loaves, the first batter is removed from the oven. And he doesn't seem to be bothered by that. The next opinion, V'chachomim oimrim, Sholosh Noshim, Oiskois Bebotzeik Ke'achas. Now, three women are working on the dough as one. That's kind of vague. The Mishnah continues with an explanation that it too might appear to be vague, but in the Gemara there it will be elaborated upon. He goes on to say in the Mishnah, Achas losha, v'achas oreches, v'achas oifa. One is kneading, the other one is oreches, that's with rolling out and shaping the loaves. And achas ofen, one is baking. What is clear, though, according to the Chumim, you don't have three women kneading at the same time. Because as we said before, there's only one oven in the picture, and that's going to generate the need for the others to wait. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Lo kol hanoshim, velo kol ha'etzim, velo kol ha'tanurim shavin. It's he says it's very hard to say a procedure in some type of standard fashion when not all women are the same. And Rashi adds to this, there are yesh atzlonios umachmitzos yemishu kolkach. There are lazy type women, and the chance of fermentation will set in if they are expected to wait so long. And there are tanurim, there are ovens that aren't so hot, and there are types of wood that don't burn so efficiently. So therefore, he says, Zeh haklal, this is the rule. Tofach tiltosh bitzonen. If you see the dough that you have is starting to expand, which is represents the beginning of fermentation, so she should wet the dough down with cold water, and that will retard the fermentation. Tana Rabbanan. Here we have a Tanaic source that describes the Rabbanan, the Chachomim in this source. We have a little diagram, a little chart to give a feeling of what we're about to learn. And before we learn it in the words, so let's try to describe it using our chart. There's a starred reference to the chart on the side, opposite this point in the Gemara. We have three columns. They're numbered 1, 2, and 3. They represent the three women. So lady number 1 starts kneading dough. Notice 2 and 3 are not doing anything. So she starts kneading the dough, and then after she kneads it, kituf, she starts to shape it or roll it out. We didn't mention this earlier today, but we've mentioned in the past, and Rashi does mention it also, that fermentation is not a problem as long as some activity is being done to the dough, as long as the dough is being worked. Hence, in our previous sugya, we saw an amount cited, how much dough is reasonable to be considered enough that, or maximum amount that you will be working on it without part of it remaining unworked. So lady number 1, we pointed out, kneads. She starts kneading, then starts shaping. At the point that she starts shaping her dough, so lady number 2 will start kneading her batter. As far as lady number 1 is concerned, after she shapes it, she then bakes it. At the time she's baking, baking means putting it into the oven for baking. At that point in time, lady number 2 is involved with the shaping or the rolling out of her dough. And lady number 3, now she starts a kneading process. And as you can see, the chart should be self-explanatory. At the next stage, while lady number 3 is kneading and lady number 2 is baking, so after lady number 1's baked loaf is removed, the next thing she does is she starts kneading again. And at that point, lady number 2 is baking and lady number 3 is shaping. So everything is staggered, as you can see. And as the end approaches, in other words, when lady number 1 is finished with her batter and she finishes baking, so lady number 2 at that point will only be shaping, and later she will bake. And when she finishes baking, she then is out of the picture. At that point, lady number 3 is shaping her dough and then will bake it. But as you can see, there is no waiting by any given batter because of this staggered setup. That is now what we will see in the words of the Tanaic source. So the Gemara opens, Tana Rabbanan. Losha, the lady number 1 starts kneading. He mekatefes, she then shapes her loaves, rolls them and shapes them. Vechaverta losha tachteo, and at that point that lady number 1 is rolling out her dough, lady number 2 starts her batter, her kneading. Mekatefes, he ofa. So the lady number 1 that was rolling out her dough, now she's ready to bake it. Vechaverta mekatefes tachteo, and lady number 2 starts shaping, rolling the dough that she was previously kneading. Vashlishis losha, and at that point, the third woman starts kneading her dough. Oifa he losha. Now, lady number 1 that we saw had baked her loaf, she now is ready to start kneading her new second batter. The chaverta oifa tachteha, the second woman when lady number one starts the kneading of her new batter, so lady number two is at a point where she will be putting her loaves in the oven. Vashlish is mikatefes, and the third woman will be shaping and rolling out her dough. And all of this you can see clearly illustrated on the chart. The Chozer is Cholila, and this process continues in a cyclical fashion. Kozman sha'oiskos v'botzik eino ba lidei chimutz. Here we mistakenly cited this in Rashi, but in fact it's the Gemara itself that says that as long as the women are occupied with the dough, so there is no problem of chimutz. The problem arises when the dough remains unattended. In other words, where there's no demanded action. And it's very interesting to note how Rabbi Gamliel didn't seem to be bothered by that and said we leave it in their charge, even where the dough, where there will be a situation of dough that's lying in wait. Rabbi Akiva Oimer, lo kol anoshim v'chulei. Rabbi Akiva says that you can't apply some type of, you can't say, report this in a standard fashion because of all the subjectivity that's involved. Tanya Omer, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, tells us this following incident. Danti lifnei Rabban Gamliel. I argued or stated in front of Rabban Gamliel, Yomdeinu Rabbeinu, Benoshim's Rizos or Benoshim Shein's Rizos. Rabbi Gamliel had allowed three women to start kneading together. Are you talking about diligent women or women that are not zrizos, not diligent? Beitzim lachem o beitzim yuvashim. The fuel that's used to heat up the oven, is it wet wood that doesn't burn that well or dry wood? Betanu cham o betanu tzoynein. Are they dealing with a preheated hot oven or an oven that they are only going to be heating up now? Omar li. Rabbi Gamliel responded to me, "Ein l'chol mashi shanu chachomim." Rabbi Gamliel eventually says that if you want to make a rule about things, all you have is that which the chachomim stated, or that which they shanu is that which the chachomim taught. Zeh haklal tofach tiltush b'tzonein. If you see the dough starting to tofach, starting to rise or expand, so wet it down with cold water. The Mishnah. Now, this Mishnah will feature information that we've learned in the past, so if it seems familiar, don't be surprised. We will be dealing with we'll be presenting here a Machlokes Tanoim, Rabbi Yudah and the Chachomim. The Chachomim presented in this source is, in fact, maybe more familiar to many of us as Rabbi Shitas Rabbi Meir. The issue is, at what point in the dough's fermentation, if you will, is one obligated to destroy it as chometz? So we're going to make reference to something called si'ur, not to be confused with the word si'or. Si'ur is dough in an early stage of fermentation, and there's a machlokes tanoim. All of this we've learned before as to what this early stage is and what halachas, what penalties apply. So the Mishnah says, si'ur isoreif, v'oichlo potur. If the dough reaches the si'ur stage, so it must be burnt. However, if one eats it, so he is exempt. He's not guilty of eating chometz. Siduk, if it's cracked, that's a more advanced stage. So siduk isoreif. That must be burnt, and one who eats it is chayav kores. That's considered full-fledged chometz, and the eating of chometz on Pesach carries with it the kores punishment. Eizehu si'ur. What is meant by si'ur? Kekarnei chagovim, where cracks develop in it that are like the antenna of locusts. The when cracks that are appearing in two different directions, and siduk is a situation shnis arvus dokim zebozeh, where there are many cracks developed in the surface of the dough that are interwoven. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that presentation is according to Rabbi Yehuda. V'chachomim omrim, the chachomim we will see are more stringent, because they're saying that even what Rabbi Yehuda described as si'ur, in the Chachamim's opinion, is actual chometz, and will mechayev someone in kores. The Chachamim omrim zeh v'zeh ha'oichel chayev kores. Both of the examples cited, Karnei Chagovim and this Arvu Sedokim, both of them, even Karnei Chagovim, according to Chachamim, is Chayev Kores. Not like the Tanakhama said, Ochlo Potter. So, V'ezu Siur, so what is Siur according to the Chachamim? Kol Shechsifu Ponov, Kodom Shomdu Sarosov. Anything that the dough, or the face of the dough, turned white, which is similar to the change of complexion in a person that has become startled. The translation is like a person whose hairs stand on end. A person, when he becomes startled, his complexion changes, his hair stands on end. That's similar situation happening to dough. Not that the dough becomes startled, but there's a change in color in the surface of the dough where it starts turning white. That is the sign of si'ur, according to the opinion of the Chachamim. And as we said, that is also known as Shitas Rebbe Meir. The point that we just made in terms of the names, you can see this is featured in Rashi. We continue now with a Tanaic source, and a very interesting thing is going to happen in this Tanaic source. Rebbe Meir's name will appear explicitly, and Rebbe Yehuda, who in the Mishnah appeared explicitly, here in the Brisa, he will appear as the Chachomim. So Rashi already preempts any confusion and points out that Chachomim in the Mishnah is Rebbe Meir, Chachomim in the Brisa is Rebbe Yehuda. So we continue. Tana Rabbanan, Ezu Sior, what is... How do you describe the siur stage of dough? Kol shechsifu ponov ka'odem shomdu sarosav. Anything whose face turned white, the face of the dough, the surface of the dough turned white, like a person whose hair stands on end as a result of being startled, and we said that is accompanied by a complexion change. Siduk is kekarnei chagovim, divrei Rebbe Meir. Once it reaches siduk, then one who eats that, he would be chayev kores for eating chometz on Pesach. V'chachomim omrim, ezo si'ur, the chachomim's version of si'ur is, kekarnei chagovim. Siduk, shinis arvu sedokim zeh bozeh, where the cracks became interwoven. V'zeh, ha'oichloi chayev kores. Regarding both of those, one who eats either one, he will be chayev kores. Now, this last expression is not really clear. So, the Gemara asks, V'o'anan t'nan si'ur yisoreif, v'o'ichloi poter divrei Rebbe Yehuda. So, you see that in this source, we saw, this is a quote from the Mishnah, that Rebbe Yehuda has an exemption for eating si'ur. So why in the source we just read, we saw the source just before this, we were reading V'chachomim omrim, which really was Rebbe Yehuda, and he mentions Siur is Karnei Chagovim, and then at the conclusion of the source, it seems to say that for eating that, that would be Chayev Kores. So what we've done with our markings is we dashed underlined Siur Karnei Chagovim, and the word kores, all in the source 3 and 4 lines from the bottom. So you have, if you put all the information, the necessary information together, you've got Rebbe Yehuda, who is represented as the Chachamim, holding Siur is Chayev Kores. And in the Mishnah, it describes Rebbe Yehuda saying, as Siur, one who eats it is Potter, and that's why we dash the line Potter. So the there's a seemingly contradiction. The Gemara says no. Amo. Rather, we should say the source that had said Zeh v'zeh ho'chul chayev kores, it's as follows. L'Rebbe Meir, according to Rebbe Meir, Zeh v'zeh, whether it's the Si'ur of Rebbe Yehuda, and certainly the Siduk of Rebbe Yehuda, according to Rebbe Meir, chayev kores. Because as far as Rebbe Meir is concerned, that which Rebbe Yehuda describes as Siur, that's already far gone in the eyes of Rebbe Meir. And that's why, when you say far gone, it's seriously fermented, it's real chametz. So, just to repeat ourselves, the closing phrase of the source, at the first half of the third line from the bottom, which read, Vizeh Vizeh, Ochel Chayiv Koris, is not a continuation of Rebbe Yehuda, but rather that's Rebbe Meir in describing what his own opinion is regarding that which Rebbe Yehuda declared as Seor. Omar Rava, my time with Rebbe Meir, why is he Machmir in the case of Karnei Chagovim? Why is he Mechayev Kores for the case of the Karnei Chagovim level of cracking, the initial level of cracking? Why does he view that so seriously? He will answer, Ein l'chol kol sedek v'sedek milamalo, she'ein lo kamo sedokim milamato. There is no individual crack that will appear on the surface that doesn't represent many cracks below surface. So as far as Rebbe Meir is concerned, the Karnei Chagovim, which is just a relatively limited surface cracking of the dough, that masks the actual level of fermentation that is taking place inside this dough. Hence his stringency. Before we conclude, let us just remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.